Travel Radio. My name is Erin Ryan, and my in-studio guest filling in for Bill is Debbie Bochkovi.
Hi, Erin.
Bill's at work. We are actually pre-recording this, so it's going to seem a little bit different than normal, but the show will air in April of 2019, just in case we air it again later and maybe some political things have changed or whatever. We get burned on that periodically. I air things from during the Obama administration, and we make mean comments, and people are like, what are you hating on Trump for? I'm like, oh, sorry, wrong president. So I've started giving it a little bit of a framework of date. All right, so you can find everything about the show at We the People Radio. Radio.us. We've got archives up for you that date back 10 years almost, and they all go commercial free the afternoon of the program. I wanted to also do the commercial. Normally I harass Bill about the commercial. This is really not very fun. Bill starts the commercial and then I interrupt, you know, and so that's, we're not doing that today. So the sponsor for this hour is Team Power.
Who's Team Power?
Exactly. Thank you. Debbie will be playing the part of Erin today. Let's see. Team Power is the local Kubota dealer. You can find them at 530-226-9226. They are located at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in Shasta Lake City. And bottom line is if you have a tractor or a mower, and obviously spring is coming, so you might want to get that serviced. Otherwise, they will be busy and not be able to fit you in. But give them a call, and they can take care of all your parts, service, and sales for tractors and mowers.
We need a new lawnmower at the ranch.
Well,
I get a discount?
Yeah, it's got a seat. If it's got a seat, they sell it.
Oh, awesome.
Oh, yeah, you'll get the special discount.
Which is
actually in my former retail environment, the special discount meant you were a bad customer and we charged you more. So that's not the one you really want.
I thought it was going to be something about like weed.
And it printed out on their receipt they got a special discount, which just made me laugh. Anyway, what a mean person. It's a good thing I'm not in retail anymore. and I didn't get fired. Well, actually, I kind of did by fax. That was a whole different problem. So our guest today is Dr. Willie Soon.
Awesome.
Debbie knows Dr. Willie Soon.
Mm-hmm. So, he's off the charts. I'm so excited about this interview, Erin.
Plus, it's going to be fun.
Oh, totally. This guy is the most hilarious guy. And he's a scientist. He is like a real life, in fact.
He's an astrophysicist and a geoscientist.
Probably, and this is no joke.
I don't even know what they do.
The world's leading astrophysicist.
No pressure, Willie. We did list his.
I didn't get to tell joke in the comedy club. I have to debate fine, so you guys can imagine my troubled soul, you know.
That's right. I was there. It was at the Improv in Hollywood. And they invited Dr. Willie Soon to come do comedy.
Seriously?
Seriously. And it got pretty serious, though, Dr. Soon.
Yeah, if Joe Rogan can go there, I can go there.
Yeah, why not? You throw down with them. Well, I was reading some of these things, and I thought, I'm obviously not a scientist, and I was mean when I was in retail. Wow, I'm really killing my my prospects for jobs in the future if I use this show. But since 1992, you've been an astronomer at the Mount Wilson Observatory, and received editor in the area of solar and stellar physics for New Astronomy. So you're just doing, and Debbie said your main expertise is the sun.
Yes, been studying the sun for a long time.
I mean, I know where it
and,
is, but that's pretty much
until
it.
Today, it's still hard to figure out what the sun actually do. It's a very, very complex topic because it's even more complex than Earth, actually. If you just think about Earth as a medium that has air and water and land, right? I mean, the sun is purely plasma in the sense that not the kind of blood in your, not blood. It's basically ionized plasma, which means the atoms couldn't hold on to the electrons outside, so you have they're basically split. So, you know, just very complex stuff, and there's plenty of material in it, so you can imagine how hard it is to try to describe this behavior of the sun and what it does. And of course, the most interesting question is that it can do whatever it wants, but then what impact does it have on the Earth climate system, for example, which is the primary question that I've been trying to answer for close to 30 years now, if you ask me. Yeah.
So mostly you're not pinning it all on, you know, cows and hamburgers.
Well,
and
first, First, I don't know if you guys heard the news that in Netherlands they're proposing the cow toilet. I'm not joking. At first, everybody thought, tell me it's April Fool. A lot of my friends refused to look at it. I said, dude, go click the link. It's real. But no, it's actually just an old way, according to my friends, Dennis Mitchell from Florida. This is just an old way of, you know, how some good farmers and, you know, people, cowboy cowgirls, handle this kind of wasting, right? I mean, you know, clearly it's a smart thing to do, but then it gone so ridiculous that these people are doing it thinking that they can save the planet. I mean, this is just very, very presumptuous nonsense from all this high hogwash kind of people. But I really think that a lot of them, maybe they don't have enough spanking from their mother, you know, when they were young. Somehow we have to do something. I mean,
lack of corporate
money. I really, really do not like to speak that way, but then they really act very, like a child. I mean, that's the problem. And these folks doesn't, I mean, come on, a bartender trying to give us the direction of how we use our energy for the next century, for God's sake, you know?
She doesn't even
know numbers from anything else, and then she's going to dictate this whole thing, and then people are cheering along. And then a 16-year-old from Sweden has started to decide the fate of the planet for not studying any science of physics or chemistry or biology and skipping class and then using emotion as the answer to everything. Oh, my God, I really? I'll be crying all day long. You know, don't have to do any work just because somebody decided to tell me or brainwash my brain. I took my brain out and go wash it and then put it back, you know, in Clorox, whatever they want to do with it. I mean, it's just amazing, isn't it? I mean, the kind of world we live in now, it's a bit weird, actually. I find it very amazing, these people. Where do they get the audacity to kind of act that way and to behave that way? Perhaps it's a long history, according to some of my friend who's in a lot of this political theory and, you know, social theory of life, that we've been under the liberal education, quote-unquote. Unfortunately, the word liberal is a very good one also, but it's the progressive type who really, really saying that, oh, no kid should be different, and then they're all the same. All kids have a special talent. Well, they're a dumb kid. They're a smart kid, I'm sorry.
Yeah, there are.
I mean, we have to learn our place and properly learn something. Of course, not all kids are supposed to be Einstein. I mean, kids can do so many other things, you know? You know, and no, not everybody has to study physics. Not everybody has to study the sun. You know, you can be a farmer. You can be a good person, actually, doing some good work that is meaningful to yourself. Other than all this nonsense that they are really peddling, it's just incredible. Anyway, sorry for ranting before I even get going on anything else. You haven't even asked a single question.
We love ranting. Ashley's in the sound booth, like, you know, wiggling her fingers together like a mad scientist. That's as close to science as we're going to get today from our end. We'll do the mad scientist finger wiggle here.
But Alec, Willie, I call Alexandria O'Communist, because that is what, you know, they're pushing, is the social engineering of society where feelings take precedence over facts.
Well, when you propose something that's trillions of dollars and they ask how you're going to pay for it, and the person has just that blank, buggy-eyed stare and says, well, we're just going to have to do it. Like, okay, so you're not an economist or a scientist.
And they haven't...
Here's a tweet that I just sent out to you guys on the state of Vermont.
Oh, I did see
it. You know, run by, of course, some of these very prominent characters. You know, what's his name? The communist number one.
Bernie?
And then, of course, the environmentalist king, Bill McKibben. I mean, those guys, perhaps they are sincere, but they are so deluded that they actually cut down all they even killed their nuclear power plant in Vermont that is really supplying a lot of energy. And they pledged that they're going to cut emission by 50% by this time. And then they shut down their nuclear plant. Now they increase their emission of CO2 by 2 times more than what the U.S. as a whole. And then they would need 407 or 500 years to replace the lost nuclear power with wind.
I guess they're not going to be driving or doing anything during that time. Hey, Willie, we have to take a really quick break. We'll be back with Dr. Willie soon. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. What shall we do about them when they move into your neighborhood?
go, guys. No whining this time. And one, two.
Man, it's hot in here.
Seriously, dude.
There's a crisis on the planet. It's heated up almost a whole degree. It hasn't been this hot in a long time. Not since the 16th century, when there were no evil SUVs. Stop global warming. It's up to you. The Earth's been heating up and cooling back down since the day it started spinning. Head out of the clouds.
Love it.
I just want you to know there's more.
Don't rub it in, man. Don't play songs like that. Come on. Get me really into the mood. It's very bad.
Oh, we're just getting
very,
started.
Very bad. We should stop Continental Drift tomorrow. Come on, guys. Stop CO2.
I want you to know that at 1:30 this morning, I stopped loading songs in, but it was really hard to weed them out. Like, who was going to make the cut and who wasn't? Because there is a lot of great material out there. A lot of great material.
Well, you know, they even have, and Dr. Willie soon knows about this, they even now have shoes, outdoor shoes, that are approved by the United Nations.
That
are climate neutral, climate positive shoes.
I don't even know what that means.
Shoes, tennis shoes.
I know, but what does that even mean?
Dr. Soon, you're the scientist. What does that mean?
It just means the empty your pocket. Come on, you know, that's what it is. It's all about that, isn't it? No matter how pure they are, ultimately it's about the control of the purse. These folks are just really think that everybody is stupid, I mean, in a lot of ways. But thank God for the U.S. Constitution. Thank God for United States, by the way. We are among the few of those people who are still around, who at least will stick to some principle and some basic humility and ability to think for ourselves. You know what I mean? I mean, every single time there are somebody taking guns, kill somebody, they immediately want to ban guns, they want to ban this, ban that. Ban everything. Ban idea, ban brain, ban everything. I mean, are you kidding me?
No,
really need to really step back and not to mess around so much with some of us who really, believe me, if they think they're going to hang around for a long time, we are going to hang around for a long time and fight them to the end. That's about what I can say. But the problem is that there are something very meaningful about science in a lot of ways. I mean, these are stuff that actually bring you the so-called technology, the convenience of life, you know? And this is why, even for me, I have to stick more narrowly in the sense that I'm very protective of science, not to let all this committee, this and that, this National Academy of Sciences and all this big time for-profit magazine trying to tell us this and that, and building on their fake prestige, you know, who can easily be broken down one day simply because they lie all the time. They lie so much that I just couldn't take it anymore. That, you know, they are basically using, oh, this many scientists say this, say that. This many scientists say this, say that. You know, like global warming is deadly and then we have 12 years left and so on and so forth. Where it started to really go into this this brain of AOC, right? That immediately copy the same thing like a robot. I mean, by the way, she is a made-up character in a lot of sense. I don't think she's truly free in that way. Because, you know, clearly she doesn't understand a lot of issues, isn't it? She couldn't get any facts straight on the stuff on FDR. You guys may have heard of that. That, you know, the term limit stuff on the 22nd Amendment. I mean, these are stuff that's completely crazy that these folks are still getting the microphone next to her mouth and let her just... But in some sense, it's positive. In the sense that we probably can vote her out. Who knows what, right? But then again, it's just so mad that I tell you that we really cannot. We really have to fight very hard. And then my emphasis this day is actually I'm also very, very tired of going on TV, talking to all these prestigious here and there. They are just very boring to me. Because you know why? It's very simple. I'm not interested in being famous or you know, getting on this another credit. Oh, I'm on CNN how many thousands of times, whatever. You know, I write so many thousand papers that have no meaning, you know. All I'm interested in is actually make sure that kids are not being brainwashed and at least some of us still able to think for ourselves. you know, preserve our liberty and, you know, whatever, our pursuit of happiness and things like that. These are all very simple stuff that I don't think we should ever, ever give up and let them take away all this right from us. In that sense, that is what I'm all about. And I really hope that some of your listener is of the same mindset, you know, to try to see that you can find ways you can get any information on any topic. You know, scare on pollution, use the word pollution in the wrong way, you know. Scare on any other things, because scare is the ultimate weapon, right, that they're using.
Yeah,
to scare
fear,
everybody.
The fear tactics.
Oh, if you don't do this now, all the ice will melt. But how? How? Physically, you need something to melt this ice sheet that was built up millions and millions of years ago. I mean, these are all Nobel Prize guys. I mean, one guy named Steve Chu has a Nobel Prize in physics, but then he's going around using his prestige that he won a prize for something that had nothing to do with this idea on how you melt an ice sheet. He got it for something called laser confinement, of putting using laser to squeeze material ever, you know, squeeze it using the laser force. And then he go around saying that, you know, this global warming is going to melt the Greenland ice sheets. I get the liberty to ask him, how? I mean, you're such a smart guy. Why don't you explain to everybody now? I've been studying this topic. I know physics at this level, at least on the greenhouse effect. But there's just no way that you can melt the ice sheet, because CO2 is never, ever the heat source. Do you understand? CO2, you have more CO2, you are only changing the rate of how our Earth system cools itself. You're not adding heat to the system. That's a big difference. This is why the sun is always a gorilla in the whole system.
Well,
sun
and
is a heat source.
Dr. Soon,
it can be also a heat sink, because you take it away, that's it. You got no more heat. Okay?
And they're not.
This is why the sun is so important.
The United Nations, Dr. Soon, correct me if I'm wrong, isn't even considering the sun in its IPCC studies, is it?
In a way, you see, these are all basically tricks. I have to answer the question more in more subtle detail, because, of course, they include some of it. They include some of it only in a very fake way. Okay, it's a bit like, I don't know how you call it. I mean, these are folks who really, really cheat and lies all the way. And, of course, using the prestigious of quote-unquote peer-reviewed publication. By the way, publishing a scientific paper used to be a very honorable thing. This day, it's like printing toilet paper. I mean, really that bad, okay? These folks are writing, I mean, I
so
would
you're
say,
saying is Debbie and I can get a
scientific literature
paper
on climate change. I mean, 90% of those publications are not worthless. I mean, they shouldn't ever, ever be published. But they use those procedures and saying that, oh, I have scientific paper included the sun in the therefore it has to be true. But then when you look at it, did they use the best scientific knowledge, scientific understanding of this topic? Absolutely not. This is why it might as well, in some sense, it might as well say that they didn't put in the solar forcing. They actually make sure that only the sun could change by a very, very tiny amount, but essentially not changing. And then because they say they include the sun, and therefore they couldn't find the effect of the sun, it's for that reason. Because they didn't want to account for something that actually the sun could change a lot bigger, right? So this is a very crazy stuff in which that it's hard to argue with them in some sense, because they are willing to lie and cheat. This is why, in some sense, they are also very afraid of public debate with guys like me or many, many of my friends. That they are very, very afraid of doing that kind of debate, because they don't want to get into the argument in which that we can show that they are wrong. We can say that they are, because we are equally credible like them. Oh, they've been trying to discredit me, by the way. You may think I'm credible to you, but then, according to them, I'm completely dead. Because you know why? Every single piece of my work, according to them, has been debunked. But I really, really have a scratching my head on that issues. Many of them are just basically saying that, oh, your work is debunked. Oh, excuse me. Show me how. Because I have published scientific papers just like them in any of the journals that they publish in. But in science, when you exchange that kind of information, you actually publish it. You know? You let me review it, I'll show you why you are wrong. And there's no need for emotion, by the way. Science is very, very, very rational kind of thing, you know? You don't need all this emotion. You don't need all this chit-chat and all this TV nonsense. You know, you just really need to tell your scientific argument and show your calculation and show your data. So every time when it gets down to that kind of business, oh, my God, the worst possible of humanity, actually, inhumanity came out. These people are hiding data, changing data, cheating, blah, blah, blah. I don't know how many more bad things can you do in science, okay? That these people are doing that in and out every single second and of their day. And it's only a few people like us and a lot of my very, very good friends. By the way, the sad thing is, of course, I would consider myself not too extremely old, but many, many of my friends who are able to do those things like I am doing is basically retired people. So they won't be threatened by job and scared of their wife beating them up. I don't know, for not having a job or something, or to have to take care of their kid because of the responsibility we have. And it is that kind of crazy pressure that they were able to kind of overcome over the last at least 30 to 40 years now, right? This kind of movement. And then all the time, while some of us who are serious in science, we ignore their very key component of what they are doing. They are basically, one of my friends, my very good friend from Ireland, frame it this way. We are basically trying to go to a gunfight with actually not even a knife, okay, with the toothpicks. You know, they are using marketing and we're using science. Excuse me, that's not going to work, okay? These people are using emotion, kids with song, showing kids are dying from Africa, hungers, and so on and so forth. Well, they are the ones that are stealing the food from the kids. This Al Gore guy.
Yeah,
right?
Trust me, when I was looking for music, all the music was sung by little kids.
In so blatant way, no wonder some of us who actually understand something about life are resisting and fighting them, isn't it? So I know Debbie and I share that passion, so this is why I can get along very well with her, no problem. We even have a lot of fun, to put it this way. So
we've been around the world together, Willie. We've been around the world
together. You might as well have fun if
you know,
yeah,
from Paris, isn't it?
Yeah.
From Paris to this, and now you're coming to Calgary to
All right,
to
hang on, kids.
By the way, I promise you, man, anybody who actually can go to Calgary, man, I got hot stuff coming.
Oh.
Brand new stuff that all of a sudden, ping, the whole thing fell into my head.
Can't wait.
I run into the idea came to me. I didn't come to the idea.
All right, we've got to take a really,
and
really
it's all beautiful, by the way.
We got
it's
a really quick
like
break here. Break time, Willie. Break time. We have to have a really fast break here, but I'm going to play one of my favorite songs that Debbie sent to me for today. It's called "While Glaciers Weep," which will make you weep. But I just want you to know you won't be able to. Glaciers is pronounced glaciers in the song.
Are we allowed to cry on the radio?
I would. Man, my husband begged me to turn it off last night.
Oh,
you're
I'm
listening to We the People.
Laughter right now.
Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us, and I have posted this video, by the way. Hit it, Ashley.
I look at you now, see your temperature rising. While mighty glaciers weep, I look at you now, see your oceans arising. While nations are lost in the deep, I don't know why. Nobody told you they stole and fooled you.
If just one person shines, others will follow in line. As we board the greenhouse train, we'll say goodbye to acid rain. As we fight
so much better.
I cannot wait to do karaoke with these songs.
No, I want you to know they're all online ready for karaoke because they want you to be singing them more.
What bar? Right. Oh, maybe Audrey Denny.
Yeah, there you go.
The Audrey Denny bar.
But I got to tell you, she goes, the Glossier's the was about enough to send me over the edge. And I'm like, man, with a voice like that, you should really be doing mime.
Well, what about the global warming train? We've got to all get on the global warming train.
Yeah, yeah. We got to all stand in line.
And then we'll be united.
Classic. I have a second cut from that song that will be coming up. You will ultimately hear the entire song, I'm sorry to say.
Yeah.
Just a little spoiler alert there for you.
You know, the sad thing to me, Aaron and Dr. Willie Soon, is that there are so many Americans falling for this. You know, just like the polar bear issue. That there are still people out there saying, oh, the polar bears are dying.
That you got to save the polar bears.
Yeah, that is a fallacy. In fact, Dr. Willie Soon, who we've got on the great radio show that we've got today, has done studies also on polar bears.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. And he is heading to...
I published 3 papers. And I really, really
not
hate that.
Paper.
I don't have to write this damn thing. But then it's so crazy that these people lie so much. No, it's the lies, actually. It's the lies and the pretension that makes me, you know, have to be clear in my head. So in some sense, it's a form of therapy for me. I have to write it and then to sort of state some of the clear facts and try to seek way to understand, you know, the real reasoning behind any of this question. I mean, for example, one of my most well-quoted thing, they attack me, but then they really doesn't understand that the joke is on them, really. When I make a strong statement that ice is the ultimate enemy for polar bear, and they got really angry and they thought that, oh, we got him, man, we got him, he's such a fool for saying such a stupid statement, everybody would disagree with this guy. But then this is when they're afraid of me being hurt, of course, because I can explain why I say that. It's very clear.
That's really awkward.
The first question you want to ask is, how many polar bears do you want? 1 million? 1 billion? And then if you want a lot of that, you better make sure that your ocean is slightly warm, actually. Because only the warm ocean can support the food chain. The way from something called zooplankton, so small in millimeter size, all the way to a healthy ocean system with enough fish, which then ultimately lead to ring seal and so on and so forth, where the polar bear really like to eat ring seal, obviously. So this is the kind of stuff. And then when we study the nutritional needs for polar bear, by the way, working with some polar bear biologists who actually want to work with me, of course, so we assess the energy need. Yes, they also eat, actually, berries, you know, during summertime when they come on land. And then one time, guys from American Natural History Museum couldn't get their paper published because they simply wrote a statement because they went and observed this polar bear in Svalbard in Norway. And they would find that this polar bear, instead of killing birds, they actually were eating the eggs for the bird, from the bird. So, they evaluate the nutritional value of that. It's quite high. Now, so they actually reach a conclusion that this is actually a very nutritious stuff for the polar bear. Instead of wasting energy fighting the bird, you know, like more calorie loss. So they eat the eggs and it's kind of sufficient. Oh, people won't let the paper publish. These are all crazy stuff in the world that why do I have to care about who published polar bear papers on all this normal question that you ask, you pose, and then you try to answer.
That's what I've been
But the
saying.
Scientific community is so unhealthy now, it's all talking nonsense. And then when I make a statement like polar bear, ice is the ultimate enemy, because the real serious question to ask, if you care about polar bear in terms of evolutionary history, by the way, polar bear come from the biological family of brown bear, right? And that diversion, that lineage came off about actually 200,000 years ago. And during 130,000 years ago or 20,000 years ago, there was a time called the Eemian, which is the warm interglacial, which is much warmer than even the current warm period now. And polar bear was thriving, obviously, during warm period. What are you talking about? I mean, the puzzle is actually where polar bear live during the last glacial maximum, where the ice is 3 miles thick, a few miles thick, you know, over northern Canada and, you know, on all these various places where their habitat are now today, right? So, in some sense, why don't we ask this question? And then they say this tiny amount of global warming going to kill all the polar bear? Are you kidding me? And I don't know, God would only be my witness that how much hard work I do, I have to do this. All on my own time, on my own free time. You know, I'm not a busybody, really. I rather prefer not to do any of this. But the problem is no one stood out. No one came out and do this thing. Spend the energy researching the topic and then still get attacked, being called this and that. No wonder it really does take, I would say, decent soul like myself, who really care about this thing so much that I actually did something about this, rather than all the nonsense these people are pulling, right? Oh yeah, they come after me very seriously, attacking me, all this nonsense, you know?
And even trying to...
I posed a simple question, I wanted to answer the question, and I think I'm on the right track, by the way. I'm seriously on the right track. So I'm only telling them that you guys back off.
Yeah, and
you know,
and Willie,
you guys back off. I'm not backing off one inch.
They've tried to tie you to big oil and
getting,
which is a flat out lie. But that's the way they need to attack. They come up with lies so that real facts get diminished, put aside, and then they get their propaganda out there, like polar bears are dying and the seas are rising and the glaciers are melting and we only have 12 years, now 11 years to act. And if we don't act sustainably, life as we know it will be uninhabitable and planet Earth will no longer exist as it does. And this is the scare tactic. And like you said in the beginning of the show, they're using people like Greta Thunberg, who's this, you know, 15-year-old, who every Friday says that she is not going to go to school. She is protesting. She's Sweden, right? In Sweden?
Yep.
And now did she get, Willie, the Nobel Prize?
Not yet. They nominated her, and she won a very big prize in France, by the way. You saw that 2 days ago, and of course, she claims she's going to donate all the money. That's fine. I mean, she's sincere, but then she actually told... I mean, she clearly have a lot of issues in life, you know?
Well,
have all kinds of illnesses.
I saw her in December in Poland at the most recent United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change conference. She sat right in front of me in the panel discussion that the Trump administration had put on to talk about the mixed use of renewable energy as well as the reliable energy that we use, which is oil, gas, natural gas, as well as nuclear. The whole mix is what the Trump administration wants to use. And she was sitting right in front of me. And what was she carrying? A big, huge plastic bag full of goodies. And yet there's such hypocrites out there. Aaron, they are hypocrites. That's what I've noticed.
Yeah. I mean, those are the stuff
factor.
That actually it works emotionally, but people need to understand also the facts that this, every time we leave, we're not killing the planet. Please, God, you know, I mean, it's just amazing. I mean, think about how humanity has come, right? We lifted so many billions of people out of poverty, really, through science and technology, really. I mean, there are always human innovation around that always solve problems in a very good way. Surely that one should not do a lot of this stuff in a deliberate sense. No one wants to pollute the air, so on and so forth, you know. In fact, poverty is the pollution, right? It's the poor people who cannot care for the environment. These basic economic issues, they also would not want to admit, right? Like this morning, I saw stuff about how the post-surgery death is causing poor people in Africa die simply because they claim, this is another agenda issue that's saying that, oh, they didn't get access to surgery. Excuse me. And then of course, poor doctors in Africa didn't get access to so-called checklist like an airline pilot do when they get on an airplane to avoid accident. That they say the rate is too high and unacceptable. But one of my good friend, Terry Gagnon, from Stanford, says that, you know, maybe that's not a problem at all. Checklist will be the last thing they worry about. I mean, it's actually about electricity, access to electricity, cheap and abundant electricity, where World Bank would not give them money if they were to build hydro dam and things like that. Wanted them to go renewable. Are you kidding me? And then transportation is another big issue in those areas. Never mind education. Terry, my friend, built through only like collecting money here and there, only $20,000 we can build a little high school for those kids in Sierra Leone, for example, things like that. And these people are still there to tell us, you know, about how these African kids have no access to all this stuff. It's actually caused mostly by them. I have another story to tell. It's one of my friends.
Hold on for two seconds, Willie. We've got to take a break here.
Sure.
And
sure.
Celebrate a little capitalism. On our way out, we'll play a little ode to your local nemesis. How about that? He who shall remain nameless.
Yes.
Who needs some serious mental health? That would be the clue there. That's the clue.
They call me a prostitute. So. Excuse me.
So let's throw down. What better place to do it than on the radio?
Call me a gigolo or something, you know what I mean? Call me a prostitute.
So we'll give it right back to him. You are listening to We the People. We're talking with Dr. Willie Soon. Debbie Bacigalupi is my co-host today, and I will be right back. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
Chiquilita.
Neither of those was the one I thought. So we'll play it after. We'll play it on our next break. The Ode to Your Nemesis is still pending. It's in the hopper, as they say. So, Dr. Soon, seriously, when you have to deal with these people, especially online, I know that you have pretty good protection or cover or whatever you want to call it from Heartland. The Heartland Institute was basically where I pulled all the information that I put on our page for today. And they have you guys have done a great job on there in a lot of categories, but yours is really detailed. And all the information about them calling you they don't use prostitute, though. I guess that's reserved for your special nemesis. But they have in here that there's a lot of stuff online, and here are the facts. And it goes on for pages.
Oh, yeah. Because you have to remember, Erin, you may not know the history. For many, many years, they've been coming after me because, again, I've been in this business for a long time. And I would say the first 10 years, I didn't want to speak out. I just keep my own business and quiet, so you would never hear me. And then the last 20 years, it's the conscience. And also, maybe because I have young kids now, I'm really worried about their future too as well, just like any good parent. That, you know, how can the world be like this? And then, plus that I really do know the subject. I often told Al Gore, by the way, I also have opportunity to post Al Gore a question and that sort of thing. And you think you can run faster than me? I mean, if it were to be true, I am completely for the truth. I will tell the truth, nothing but the truth. And what I found out is that basically all you guys are lying. That's what it is. That's the problem. So the problem is you step away. Because liars lose. You just have to go away. Shut up. Do some, or just go and dig a hole. That's your problem. It's not mine. But then you don't go around trying to insist that we are liar and turn it around. This is why they are very angry with me, because I wouldn't say anything less. And they got in a lot of heated. So they've been trying to get me down through my official work, which is, of course, at the prestigious place that I don't even want to say it, because they don't want me to say it. And then so they come through Freedom of Information Act. It's Greenpeace, actually. And the whole institution that's been there for so long, and they're willing to give my email away for Greenpeace. And we are a scientific institution. We're not a chit-chat political group or social group of any kind. And this is astrophysics, for God's sake. And I'm a very serious scientist, you know. I earn my status, my way, because I study very hard. I do nothing but just learn about this subject. And I don't mean to fight anybody. Whatever the conclusion is, I'll just say it. But then you're not going to stop me from saying my conclusion when I really, really found the results and stuff like that. So they've been coming after me for a long time, almost 10, 15 years now. This is why in 2015, one of those fateful days in February, this Greenpeace finally was able to get through New York Times, colluding with them, supplying everything to New York Times. Front page of Sunday New York Times. No wonder it's serious. Accusing me for, of course, essentially taking money to fulfill this so-called contract with all this fossil fuel company. The money never come to me. The money come to the institution. And then when they realize that it is the institution that signed the contract, and I have no ability to negotiate any contract with anybody, and they realize they're wrong, actually. I didn't do anything. I just simply, as a scientist who do my research work, and then they use this New York Times, which, of course, even get Reverend Al Sharpton and a bunch of these world-famous people who come up to me.
Who's obviously a masterful scientist.
Oh, you guys know that the other guy is a famous one. Is called the Young Turks, that guy from Turkey. That actually, supposedly, people say that he's the guy who built up AOC, right?
Yeah, the Young Turks.
To win the election in New York.
And Willie, she and people in this area should know and understand that this is part of the Justice Democrat movement that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, or I call her Alexandria O-Communist, our congressman here in District 1 of California is running again against a Justice Democrat. And these people, I'm going to say it, Aaron, are wicked. They're wicked. They do not use science.
Got a song for that.
Oh, you do? Oh, awesome. They do not use science. They use feelings and emotions and bars to get to people, you know, to take out our congressmen that we've been able to count on, that we rely on. And their goal is these Young Turks, part of Justice Democrats, Bernie Sanders, I mean, they're all connected, is to take over the United States and push us into, I'm sorry, I'm going to say it, Marxism, communism, the social engineering plan to take down America. And if we don't do what you've done, Willie, which is stand, take a stand, get the facts, start, you know, educating, communicating, and do not hibernate out there. Educate, communicate, do not hibernate. Uh-huh. And activate your base, activate your people, you know, and oh, gosh, I feel the frustration. In fact, I just want to use this opportunity to insert how much Dr. Willie Soon loves America. Obviously, he's not from America with his thick accent. He's from Malaysia. But he loves America so much, Aaron, that
but
he...
But your accent actually makes everything sound funnier.
He loves America so much that he named... He's got three kids, and they're named Benjamin, Franklin, and Elizabeth. Isn't that cute?
That is awesome.
Yeah. Because he loves America, and he sees, Willie, he's very proud of you, Willie.
Saves from the polar bear hunters.
Oh, yeah, we are very, very proud. Ain't going nowhere.
Yeah, and
this is my native country now, definitely.
Proud to have you.
If there is a war, if I'm still able to fight, I would even go fight. That's what it is. I'm not going to be the kind who just talk, and then I hate all this talk. It's just a waste of time. If you want to do something, you just do it right. You know, no if or but about this. And then so many people good people have died for this country in the sense that to stand up for all this freedom that you got. It's just not free at all. It's just so many crazy stuff. Indeed. I mean, don't want to go too far on that road, but I tell you, my role is still better to be a scientist in the sense that I couldn't say that I'm a good educational or a good teacher, but then I have to tell you, I got information. I mean, Debbie can be the witness because I sent her a pile of stuff on the forest fire. I mean, that took me only 3 days, so I don't mind that, really. But it does take a lot of work and keen mind to pull out all this information to try to understand wildfire, how does it occur, why does it occur, where does it occur, blah, blah, blah. Instead of just all the time about fear, right? And then without any basic understanding of how nature works itself, you know, with human play a big role in this fire stuff.
Well, they're
blaming it on climate change.
Of
wildfire, for example, you know, how much oxygen do you need? I mean, oxygen, as you all know, is about 20%, 21% now, right? If you were to go below 15%, it will never light up, actually. In the past, you don't get that situation when oxygen was not there. So in that sense, of things like that, you got to start thinking about it clearly. And all kinds of, by the way, CO2, rising CO2, this burning combustion fuel will actually reduce the oxygen, so maybe it's helping this, you can even argue it's helping less forest fire, right, if you wish. I mean, but again, the kind of stuff that these people are pulling, it's just completely no consistency, no nothing, it's just pure marketing. Again, I have to remind ourselves we're fighting marketing, so we have to be a lot smarter than that. And really, we need more people to be able to take some of this basic information and not be afraid. Please don't accept the notion that you cannot understand things. You can easily understand a lot of this basic stuff. Science is just science. It's like life. It's not that difficult at all. As long as you know how to add two numbers together, I'm sure you know a lot of this basic stuff. You can put it down to some easy to understand way. This is why part of the problem early days when I used to go to Washington, D.C. a lot, thinking that I can make an impact on policy. It turns out that whole Washington, D.C. is swamp land, completely run by lawyers. Lawyers who also kind of afraid of science and afraid, so insecure. They are worried about us taking, but they meet the wrong guy because I don't care about anything. All I care is that something works in a good way, an honest way. These people are all scared of me in some sense because they're scared of me providing too much facts. Oh, they say it's all science argument. Just like there's one famous guy named Bjorn Lomborg from Denmark who's really number one favorite child of the so-called quote-unquote climate denier movement, right? Because the guy is so damn smart. Talking about, oh, it's about prioritizing our money and all that stuff, and then accepting that this CO2 gonna kill us all anyway. I mean, first of all, we better answer the question, is CO2 will be able to kill us all?
Yeah.
That's why we need science. That's why I never agree with him in public. I even wrote many articles against him, and people on our side continue to worship this guy like he's God. It's so bad, you know, because once you buy and sell into that kind of fake solution, fake kind of a negotiation scheme, because science is non-negotiable in that sense. It's about facts, about truth. It's a very...
We're going to have to take a hard break here. And Ashley will park the news in there when she finalizes this. Here is the ode to your arch nemesis. We finally got it. Is our sponsor this hour.
Nice.
Do you want to ask me anything annoying?
Well, I'm like sitting here going, Team Powered. Well, I know I needed that Kubota tractor.
Because they're the really good ones.
Yeah.
The orange ones.
I'm trying to figure out if I need Team Power yet.
You do. You do, because your mower probably has to be serviced because it's almost spring. Well, sometimes it's spring and sometimes it's winter. We're not really sure what day it is these days. So mower serviced, tractor serviced, sales parts, all that good stuff. Bill will be back to do the real commercial next time. Phone number is 530-226-9226, and they are located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in Shasta Lake City. And they do all the stuff about tractors. Doesn't have to only be Kubota, but they've got Kubota, John Deere, all sorts of stuff. So
would this commercial be airing in
Roland and see
San
them?
Francisco?
Mostly not.
Yeah.
They don't really mow anything. I think I think all their lawns are actually, I don't think they have any. Didn't they kill them all when Jerry Brown told him to?
Yeah, well, that was right. That brown is the new green.
Brown is the new green.
No
That's
one can
right.
And water their lawn.
We hung on to ours.
Because climate change and global warming, we've got to, you know, be limited to 55
gallon. We have to destroy everything.
And be limited to 55 gallon barrels for our water. Yeah. Like, what are you going to do when you have guests over for Christmas and you're limited to 55 gallons per person?
I just want to know how they're going to measure it.
Smart meter of some sort.
But on us? So what if I go over to your house and I use some of your water?
Yeah.
You have to fill out a report? Can you imagine?
All because of global warming, climate change, guys. And that's why we have Dr. Willie Soon on today.
Yes, and we've called today Sunlight is the Best Disinfectant for the Climate Hoax with Dr. Willie Soon because, honestly, he's an expert on the sun, which is pretty exciting, since we never really hear any actual science about the sun. That's always glossed over. It's a non-issue. I do believe Dr. Soon would debate that with us. But we wouldn't debate the other side, so it'd be kind of one-sided. We'll just cheer him on while he talks. I have put a ton of information. I wouldn't even begin to read all of this. But there are all sorts of attacks online. So maybe you don't want to read the bio because you think that might be boring because he's a scientist, but it's really not. That's pretty amazing, actually. You will definitely enjoy all of the information about the debunking. Just stunning when you read through this stuff. You look at what they have said about him, and yet the Harvard Smithsonian is publicly defending him. But just over and over and over, he has tons of credentials. It's all very well footnoted, and it links you directly to the Heartland Institute and his bio there.
Yeah, and Dr. Willie Soon is, to me, really, just, it's like an honor to know him. Dr. Willie Soon, it's an honor to know you.
And I want you to know Debbie talks about you all the time. She's always telling me, you got to get him on the show.
It's
so funny.
I know, embarrassing, but she's a very good friend, really.
I pinch myself because the friends who he's already mentioned, you know, he's talked about, sorry to talk as if you're not here, Willie, but the friends that he's mentioned so far are friends that people I've met and have gotten to meet through Dr. Willie Soon, whether it's showing up to a conference that he's speaking at or in emails. I get, you know, I don't know how many dozens of emails from Dr. Willie Soon and all these Dr. Patrick Moore, Mark Morano, all these, you know, these experts in their field. It just goes on and on as far as the number of scientists who Willie is bringing together. And I'm not a scientist, but
have you stayed at Holiday Inn Express?
Oh, yeah, I have.
Don't forget Lord Christopher Monckton, our dear friend.
Oh, and of course, yes, Dr. Lord Monckton, who's Aaron has had on her.
And he's tons of fun.
Yeah, he is. Aaron's met him several times.
You know, it's funny. It's interesting. I do find that there is a trend, though. The people who really care about actual science and who are fact-based people are a lot of fun. The other guys, not so much. A lot of doom, gloom, and anger.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and it's just interesting. Why don't people like Willie or Al Gore debate people?
Well, we all know that.
You know, and that's what the person, the average person out there who is kind of falling victim to all this stuff, Dr. Willie Soon, why aren't they asking these basic questions of, you know, if you know, climate change and global warming is real, then why are they so afraid to debate the so-called climate change deniers? And I get the answer is because they don't want to, because they would be exposed. But the other thing is, I know they're hanging on to their legacy. Could you imagine being someone like Al Gore or Michael Mann, and you have children and grandchildren, and your legacy is riding on these lies, whether you believe them or not? They are not provable. Like you say, how is man causing global warming? They just say the same old talking points, but there's nowhere that they could say, see, look at this area of the globe. This is caused by man, you know, because man is breathing and carbon dioxide is coming out. But their legacy depends on it. So could you imagine, Dr. Willie Soon, all of a sudden your science coming out and it being accepted, it makes them look like fools.
Yeah, totally blows their whole deal.
They're done.
Yeah, it's a very sad situation. Yeah, indeed. They've gone too far and gone too deep. With maybe initially they start up with some good intention, but I really doubt it by now. As a scientist, I often, you know, to tell you the truth, to practice science in an honorable way, there is some basic rule. You have to give everybody's hypothesis a benefit of the doubt. You really do have to entertain, no matter how wacky it sounds, you have to test it out, you have to actually even have the courtesy and the humility to show them why they are wrong and explain to them. in a right way, so you don't have to invoke any emotion or personality and all this other stuff. So the rule of the engagement is very, very clear. But clearly that those guys are not all the same beast. All they do is basically going out there and say that Willie Soon's work is all condemned and dead man or whatever. All this stuff is so debunked and so on and so forth. I mean, it forces me to even, of course, I think that this must be a serious joke, because if you're so smart, oh my God, Michael Mann, how I wish that we can have a chance to debate, just you and me. Because now he only wants to pick guys like Judith Curry, who's also part of the camp, who actually insists that this CO2 could do something. And then they have guys like Patrick Moore is more on our side, of course. He's much more hardcore in the sense that all we know is that basically, see, there are several classes of scientists who reach certain kind of conclusions, but of course, you can judge for yourself where the validity is. You need to look at the scientific data. My statement is to the sense that CO2, yes, we know it's a gas that can cause some warmth. The problem is still that we cannot detect it. We cannot find this signature of this carbon dioxide warming the climate system yet. All we know is that it does green the planet. That part we already detected beyond doubt. We have already found that positive effect of this, whereas all these thousands and thousands of negative effects hasn't been even identified by one serious evidence. This is that kind of problem that we are facing. There are few who try to say that, yeah, some of the group has been warned, but then those people are so callous in terms of making their claim, because you know why? They're playing with the Beyond Lombok kind of appeasement standard, which is not judging the data critically. I'm one of those most, again, hardworking scientists who check everything. For example, my most important contribution now for sure, because by now we have the result that we're fairly sure will not change over time, is to ask a very simple question. Okay, how you measure climate? Most people say, okay, well, we use a thermometer station. But then the question is, how good is the thermometer station? Science, you can actually teach that all you want. You can say, oh, it's contaminated by man building structures around the thermometer station and this and that, right? It sounded also persuasive, but that's still not science. You need to show the numbers. You need to show that, okay, if it does that, can you try to remove this effect and see whether how much it costs contribute to the warming that you see? Which means, if you see 100% warming like that, maybe 50%, only 50% of that is caused by this kind of effects, you know, like man building structures, like you're putting a thermometer station, used to be a grassland, now is building all over the place and that kind of stuff. I mean, but you need to show it. So we're very close to trying to publish a paper that is quite substantial, I would say. It is something that, by the way, funded by zero money, and then millions and millions of dollars have gone into their side, continue to uphold that legacy that Debbie was just still talking about. They have to defend that to death. So what they were trying to do, obviously, is trying to make sure that our paper is not seen or heard by anybody. Or internally, they will try to reject it. But if it's any decent journal, any scientific people would look at the paper, they will understand. That's why this is how confident I am. We are on the right track. We're doing the right work. Because I don't need to prove that I'm right and wrong. Just the fact counts. I know how to write my paper.
But silencing dissent is topic. Silencing dissent is all the rage. So
yes, that's all they're doing.
Here's a little song we found for you. Our guest today is Dr. Willie Soon, and you should play this show over and over and send it to a friend. We're going to do a lot of environmental shows in April, just because, you know, it's Earth, whatever.
Earth Day is April 22nd.
Yeah, make sure
But remember, April starts off with April Fool's Day.
Well, all right. Do like I did when I taught my children, you save all your recyclables and you throw them out on Earth Day. So, what a hater. That was back in the 80s. That was before I truly hated the environmental movement. I just didn't like the idea.
Oh, I hope you have that trees song.
I do.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Got them all. We'll be right back. If you're listening to We the People, join us online. WeThePeopleRadio.us.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow parade of fears that I cried. Now I want to understand. I have done all that I could.
to see the evil and the good without hiding. You must help me if you can. Doctor, my eyes, tell me what is wrong. Was I unwise to leave them open for so long?
By so much. So much.
I have to share.
It's just mind-bendingly endless.
I'm like
all sung by children, which just made me angry. I don't think I played any of those.
I'm like burning in my seat here. Not because of global warming.
Because I'm staring at you?
Not that
I heard you with my laser eyes?
Not that either. But when I was at the most recent United Nations conference, which is, I think it was COP25, and it was to implement, come up with the rule book of the Paris Agreement. And the Paris Agreement was this agreement under the Obama administration, not under the Obama administration, but under the Obama administration, we agreed as a country to implement implement the Paris Agreement. And the Paris Agreement, for those folks who don't know what it is, was, and Willie, Dr. Willie Soon, we have on the show today, the leading astrophysicist. I mean, we're talking big brains out there. Like, oh my gosh. Like,
and you can tell he's a really good scientist because he's funny.
He's funny.
All the good scientists are always funny.
And he spends his life, you know, not getting paid for a lot of this stuff. He's a Harvard Smithsonian scientist and has all these accolades. But he's being ignored by this global warming.
Maligned, I think. I think ignored
maligned
might be actually kind of a pleasant change for him.
It is a good word. Maligned. As in other good people, you know, other good people in the truth movement, the freedom and liberty truth
Hello?
Movement. And who is that?
Some child who wanted to sing Save the Earth.
Yeah, somebody.
Oh, my gosh, that's so
we're
cute.
We're on a party line. Annie M., is that you?
I love it. But getting back to the children, when I was at the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change conference, which was to implement the rule book for the Paris Agreement, which is how do we live sustainably, like get rid of your cars, get rid of your single-family homes, walk, bike, take public transportation, take over control of water, all these different things to live, to fulfill on the 17 sustainable development goals come by, Aaron's laughing at me right now, that were created by this crazy group, the United Nations, who tampers with temperature and uses computer modeling to make up numbers, including Michael Mann's hockey shtick. But you know, at this
great video,
and the whole idea of this rule book is to make up the rules for the global society, which is you and me, all of us, to live by in order to save planet Earth from temperature rise caused by man, greenhouse gases caused by man, driving cars and tractors and having livestock and cows burping and farting and all of that stuff. That's why AOC would like to get rid of my cows. I'm a cattle rancher's daughter. But anyway, all to maintain the global temperature by 5 degrees Celsius. That's like 3 degrees Fahrenheit, Willie, 3.6, something like that. So in other words, if we be good global citizens, or subjects rather, and we live responsibly based on a sustainable development lifestyle, that we could save planet
Earth. According to them.
According to them. We could save planet Earth, and in 11 years, life, if we act now, life, planet Earth, will be habitable. If we don't act now, it'll be uninhabitable. But anyway, all that to say that when I was there at this conference in December, one of the most maddening things to me was all the young people. And I've been to many United Nations conferences, and they co-opted the Poland choir, the youth choir, to come sing a song with this German, famous German singer who's you know, out to save planet Earth because we human beings all suck and we're terrible. She co-opted this youth group to sing a song called Breathe. And all the kids, all the kids came in with these gas masks. They don't even know. And on the side, they had this big video playing of children and all these climate catastrophes that they were blaming on, you know, man. And these poor children were crying. And prior to them doing this song, they were told, these children, and there were about 20 of them, were told that if they don't get their parents to start acting now, that islands would be underwater. Island nations would be gone in less than 12 years. This is sickening. This is stealing our youth. So that's why I was hot in my seat when I heard that song.
They don't want to face reality. And a lot of those islands is just basically what they did to themselves. I mean, they're digging up sands, and these are all coral island reef system. There are so many mismanaged issues, and then they all constantly mixing it up. New Orleans is one of the best examples. It's actually channelization. It's been the sedimentation over hundreds and hundreds of years, right? This Mississippi Delta. It's really, really a lot of this crazy stuff that they're all saying that, you know, oh, it's all related. Nothing to do with it. Okay? It's about, this is really a serious problem, because they always are prescribing the wrong solution. And then because they do not want to find the right cause. Right? It's a bit like getting a headache and they chop off your arm and legs, right? Won't even give you an aspirin for your headache. They just keep doing that kind of stuff over and over again and expect all of us to sit around and disagree with them. I mean, it's just mad, totally mad, these people.
Can you give some examples, Dr. Willie Soon, of, so the problem, what is the problem that they are saying is out there? And then what are some, and when we talk they, it's, you know, the other side who's using propaganda and manipulation, the children.
Just scare everybody into thinking the world's ending in 12 years.
Yeah, so what's the problem? And then,
I think one of the biggest ones, the new scare, because as some of you may know, factually, that if you were to use the satellite measurement data, which can actually measure the global temperature a lot better than using thermometers sitting around, right? So it's much more accurate. So the satellite could do that, can sample the Earth much better than what we can do by just having thermometers sitting around. And that measurement we have from 79 or 1980 until now, so that's really a long, not so bad. It's a long record now, you know, 40 years. And 34 years, you look at that data. Actually, it's warming, but it's warming by a very tiny amount, actually. And then if you look more carefully, let's say from a period from about 98 to about, you know, let's say recent years, they actually are not warming at all, while the carbon dioxide concentration continue to rise. This is a famous problem where they call it the global warming hiatus. I don't like the phrase either, by the way. One has to be very careful with the language. This is another way in which they get all of us. If we concede the language to them, we lose. Finish. Bye-bye. That's it. Another one that I'm going to talk about is ocean acidification after this. And when they see this thing is actually not warming, they got panic, right? So they see this not warming. Guess what? Then slowly those topics called ocean acidification started to appear. These are purely invented nonsense, okay? That's trying to say that basically the carbon dioxide, when it gets into the ocean, carbon dioxide, get into, listen carefully, it goes into the ocean, they say, it's going to acidify the whole ocean so that all the shell from oyster, from all these other animals is going to die. We're going to dissolve, that's basically. In fact, some of the, they keep using all these marketing terms, ocean osteoporosis, osteoporosis, and so on and so forth. These are actually all essentially made up lies, actually. The most dangerous thing. If anybody wants to see whether this makes sense or not, it doesn't matter how many scientists tell you this or that. All you need to know is invoke one of these facts. We know that if we measure the ocean, when you talk about being acidic or basic, in terms of chemistry, you know that you measure this on a scale of things called pH, right? P, small p and capital H. It's actually a measure of hydrogen ions, just basically protons, really. The concentration of proton in the water. If you measure that, so the scale is from 0 to 14. 0 to 7 is considered acidic. 7 to 14 is being basic, right? And they say that, and the ocean water actually is not acidic at all. It's actually on a level about 8 to 9, okay? So it's slightly more basic. They say that because we add this carbon dioxide, we're going to make the ocean, push the ocean pH to towards 7, let's say, right? So it's becoming more acidic. But then if you look at the pH concentration for rainwater, because rainwater has to go through the air and then got pull down some of those SO2, what they call sulfur dioxide. Therefore, the rainwater has very, very high, very low pH, a lot more acidic than the ocean water, okay? It's about 5.5. On that unit scale, that's actually about more than 1,000 times than the actually ocean water. So, if they really think that the CO2 from the air that we do from our cars, those things did come out from our cars, from our tractors, so on and so forth. So what? It's making the planet greener, really. But if we're really going to make the ocean water, then does it mean that we're going to outlaw the rain from falling down into the ocean? Because it's more acidic, it's going to mix with the, you know, 1,000 times more than we could actually do with CO2.
I never thought about that.
That becomes awkward,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Yeah, if you just phrase it that way, immediately you realize that this is a BS kind of nonsense
yeah.
These people are pulling on you. They're pulling a very fast one, okay?
But it is
And not
all...
only that, they're very deliberate on all this, by the way.
And they're very emotional.
Even in the actual number, it doesn't make sense. But then they have to push it because, remember, we have environmental law. Clean Water Act, Clean Air Act, all this nonsense
of right.
EPA.
Waters of the U.S.
They actually are very worried because do you know that in their actual number and their model, if you double or triple your carbon dioxide concentration in the air, which is actually almost difficult to do, okay? But if you do that, let's say hypothetically, you know how much a pH of the ocean you're going to change? You're only going to change by the unit of 0.1 the most of that unit. So it's basically from 8.3 to 8.2. Okay?
Wow. I'm not a scientist,
yeah.
But even I know
that's
small.
That's a tiny amount, by the way.
We have to take a really quick break on this.
Hold that thought.
Hold that thought.
Sure.
We'll come back with some true environmentalism after the commercial. I do believe you'll recognize this, the audio from, say, shows in the past, and we haven't played it enough, so we're going to treat you with it today.
Oh, treat.
In honor of Dr. Willie Soon.
Treat.
Yeah, that was my spoiler alert. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Carolina, an extremist eco-group called Earth First bewails the violation of American nature.
I want to mourn the loss of all the old growth trees I've seen!
I love her. She's my favorite.
And tell them that we love them and that we don't want them to die. That there are some people here who do care. So I want you to know that, trees. That we care.
And the tree says?
I think we are deeply hurting in America. I think we are deeply craving answers. I think that we've lost our identity as we have evolved into technology and into industrialized society. Bring me to this cathedral. Bring me to those guys. Bring me to this rock that has the most incredible life. That makes me feel alive.
I've looked at clear cuts and burnt forest, and I've felt outraged, but I didn't scream and I didn't cry. And I need to.
Countdown to absolute joy. There you go.
Wow, that's very disturbing. What's going on?
You know, the only thing better than listening to that is watching it. You'll have to send
and,
it.
And we posted the video online. That's like the 1970s, early 70s.
And they were serious.
They were totally serious. Oh, yeah, you got to see them. They're totally serious. We weren't. Of course, we were mocking them again. But that's just what makes us feel better.
You know, I can't wait, Aaron, for it's the just propaganda freaky. To come out prior to Earth Day. You know, we just had World
Water
Day.
It's coming.
In March, and in April is Earth Day. And you know, the original Earth Day was back in March, and they changed it to Lenin's birthday, communist Vladimir Lenin's birthday.
Oh, I thought it was closer to their pot holiday.
No. So interesting. So interesting that every year we celebrate Earth Day is the birthday of communist Marxist Vladimir Lenin.
Well, I mean, they've been manipulating people emotionally on these on this topic. I mean, pick your topic. You know, the trees, the polar bears, the all these different things.
The ocean acidification, the pH that Dr. Willie Soon was just talking
just
about.
Just crushed.
Yeah.
And hey, okay, tell me this. I heard, I don't know who it was we had on here, Leighton Stewart. That's who it was. I love him. He's the most fun man. And
oh, yeah, Texas.
Yeah, he's great. And he said, something I never could forget. He goes, okay, so if CO2 is a pollutant and somebody is having a medical situation and you have to do CPR on them, and anymore we don't do the breathing part of CPR, we don't breathe into them, but we used to, we did it for years, and saved tons of lives. So we operate in, like, what is it, 400 parts per million of CO2, and when you breathe out, it's like 40,000. It's a huge number.
Right. 40,000 versus 400. Yes.
Yeah, okay. I knew the numbers were easy, which was like helpful. So we were literally breathing 40,000 parts per million into other human beings. If it was a pollutant, they should have died instantly.
Yeah.
So
sorry,
you got a crack.
It's just crazy.
You got to laugh at it,
involuntary chuckle there.
Oh, they created all kinds of crazy stuff, actually.
It's like,
even in
that.
The actual scientific papers, they are able to play this pretend game. I mean, I don't know. I really tell you the truth is that as a scientist, I'm very, very serious. I mean, I look at it, I'm really appalled. What happened? How come? I mean, how come all of these people who is supposedly some so-called serious scientist from all these world-famous universities, this and that, member of this Academy of Science or Royal Society, this and that. I'm so glad that none of those kind of titles makes any effect on my head. Or you know, at least I don't fancy myself to want to be a member of those kind of club. You know?
Good call.
It's just so nonsense, actually.
You know, Dr. Willie Soon, I'm going to bring up professor of philosophy and bioethics at New York University. You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Here's what to combat global man-made anthropogenic global warming climate change. Here's what he suggested, and I know you know all about this, Dr. Willie Soon. Mm-hmm. He suggested that we take drugs to help us avoid eating meat. And he also suggested that we genetically engineer human beings to have cat-like eyes to reduce, because cats can see at night, to reduce the need for light for lighting.
I thought it was just going to make us taste like chicken.
He also went on to say that we should geoengineer human beings to be smaller so that we don't use as many resources. We have smaller clothes. We have, you know, smaller chairs and all
midget wrestling makes a comeback.
So all these things, you know, that people
are
proposing, you know, dramatically changing our lives as Alexander.
And people are afraid to eat genetically modified foods.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Then they say those things are bad.
But then you have these technocrats, if you will, you know, coming around telling us that we need, in order to save planet Earth, you know, in 11 years, we're going to have to move away from cattle and beef. By the way, as a cattle rancher's daughter, everything. Did I say everything?
How many things?
Everything. We are touching right now was brought to us, has some sort of livestock byproduct in it. If you're listening to this radio show, if you're driving right now, you are using livestock byproducts. So I don't care. Don't eat meat. But you're still using the products from my cow.
Tires have livestock byproducts.
Tires.
insulation, sheetrock, lubricants in your cars, lubricants that let Al Gore's private planes land on that airstrip, which also has livestock right. byproduct, your cell phone. If you're into guns and bullets, the fatty tissue of livestock byproduct helps round out the ammo so that it goes through the gun more efficiently and smoothly and whatever else you want to say. Same with machinery. So, you know, they're proposing these crazy radical ideas, even getting people off their land, you know, in rural America. It's a big deal, isn't this, Dr. Willie Soon?
Sorry?
If he says no, Debbie's coming for you. Just say yes.
I said, this is a big deal.
Of course. This guy is completely mad, and they're going to promote him to a full professor. That's where the danger comes in. This is why when we were talking about Michael Mann in the early days, by the way, I got my PhD much earlier than him. He got his about 95, 96. And as soon as he got his PhD, we immediately say that he's going to be a big, big problem. Because he's going to hang around for a long time.
Oh, really?
With his skill to sell this BS, that with his skill with getting funding from National Science Foundation and all this other group who worship him. By the way, all those things shows up in the Climate Gate emails where you can clearly show that they are all colluding with each other. They were even colluding to try to debunk so-called my paper, and then when we reply it, they never show our paper. And all working with the American Geophysical Union, which is indeed the world's largest earth sciences organization. They work with each other, commission them to write a paper to attack me, so on and so forth. It's kind of fun to watch them doing this. So childish, actually. And then when they write, their argument doesn't even make sense. It's a bit like they're having their pants down, and then they're still saying, look at me, I'm so smart. Really couldn't
the old
get this.
Earth,
I
don't
these people
story.
Are really insane, you know. They really think that they can bring a normal guy like myself down like this.
I'm sorry, Dr. Willie Soon. I have seen Dr. Michael Mann, and to picture him with his pants down to me is not very pleasing.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Bad news bears. No video will be on the website of that.
Don't show me his stick either.
The old hockey stick. Oh, it comes back to that. Doesn't
oh,
it?
This guy just no. Now he's used. You know, can you believe the amount of worshiping and all these people who actually doesn't know the technical details of how many crazy stuff he did in terms of making this hockey stick, and then he just continued to have this group of people who just gonna go down with him together.
Well, for
well,
those
they're gonna divide the world into two. That's simple, actually, for me.
For
good
those
on that, that's it.
For those who don't know the scam behind, we hear about the hockey stick all the time. Can you share with us what is the scam behind this hockey stick analogy?
It's just basically the question to ask is basically how does the temperature of the planet change over the last 1,000 years? It's a very simple question. And then, of course, in science, it's also how large is the changes, right? According to Michael Mann, who done through a lot of magic trick, which we can explain in a minute, is that the temperature curve looked like this. It looked like a handle of the hockey stick from 1000 to about 1900 AD. So flat. Even if it changed very small, no more than 0.1 degrees Celsius. So very small. It's almost like a stick, flat line. And then when you reach 1900, boom, it shoots up like a blade of the stick. So that's how it's called a hockey stick, right? But the real temperature history, I myself went into this as soon as we, by the way, he published this paper in 98 and 99. And in 98, he was publishing the history of the paper for 600 years. So it's from 1400 to 2000, right? And then in that paper in 98, he said that we don't have enough information to go back 1,000 years. And he said, because, there's not enough information, and therefore we stop at 1,400. And then no more than 3 months later, he published another paper showing these hockey sticks. You tell me in 3 months what happened. They never worry about this kind of inconsistency and all that kind of crazy nonsense, right? It clearly tell you that the data was done on a political basis.
Which is actually not data.
Some of our readers may have heard about Greenland. You know, Greenland was green once. 1,000 years ago, it was green, actually. the glacier retreated, so certain coasts, especially the southwest and the southeast coast of Greenland, were clear where people can have church, actually. They have green grass, so they have animals eating, right? And then Vinland, you all may have heard about Vinland in Nova Scotia. Those places are all warm. And many, many other places, if you think about the civilization in Southeast Asia, Angkor Wat in Cambodia, in Brazil, in Argentina, all the forests expanded. In New Zealand, they always say, oh, this hockey stick, this medieval warm period is a European phenomenon because it's only warm in Europe, it doesn't warm anywhere else. In China, you have the Song Dynasty, okay, 1,000 years ago. It was warm. Society and all this stuff was actually growing during the warm period.
And this was long before SUVs. We'll be right back. Let's finish that out when we come right back. Our guest is Dr. Willie Soon. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
I am the river.
So much of anything these days, even the air. They're running out of rhinos, what do I care? Let's hear it for the dolphin, let's hear it for the trees. Ain't running out of nothing, they look at the freeze. It's casual entertainment.
Those are my kind of words.
The sad thing is, you know the lyrics
I do.
To all these songs.
Dire Straits.
It's just, I mean, Aaron, I'm shocked. I think you are an underground.
The scary part is, I mean, I was born, 1961? So all these songs are, well, many of them, most of them, except for that tree crying thing. Cut that out.
You're not claiming that one.
Yeah, I haven't listened to I Am the Earth either. That was new last night. Gave me bad dreams. But all those songs we listened to growing up, but never thought of them in this context.
Right.
And so much of that music, you go revisit it, and it's like, I have a song for that. So back to the temperature, Dr. Willie Soon.
Yes, yeah.
Roll on.
They actually show that, and then whereas the reality really contradicts what he says. And it turns out that the main mistake of that temperature history record produced by Michael Mann is that I often say, by the way, I wrote a very clear paper in 2003 on that. That's where they become, by the way, that's where my trouble all begins, because I dare to speak out against Michael Mann. And I have to tell you, from 98 and 99 to 2003, it's a long time, isn't it, for scientists? It's a long, long time. I was waiting for somebody to do something and write and say something, because most people know what is wrong with that results, okay? It's just mainly that nobody realized, this guy is very skillful, by the way. He produced this record, right? And then, you know what? It's only 1,000 value, right? If you put it year by year, he make it look like, so he make all this value public so everybody can make the chart and scale it any way you want, put any color you like. And so, quote-unquote, popularize it, right? So everybody use it without even asking why this thing is true or not. And then, of course, it's published in some prestige journal called Nature, you know, that sort of thing. It's a bit of a social skill and this sort of crazy stuff about scientism, which is not science, which is called the practice of science without actually doing science. And so it spread like a wildfire. Everybody loved these things. Oh, because they felt that they understand something. But the problem is that that result is not actual data at all. When you give people data point, people, normal people think it's a data. It's not, actually. It's a mathematical product because he used a mathematical filter to make this time series. He claimed that he put in a lot of data from all over the place, let's say all over Northern Hemisphere. But it turns out that he put, let's say, 100 stations, okay, all across Northern Hemisphere, some in Europe, some in USA, you know, even one in Greenland, let's say. But then, in terms of this 100, 99% of the station, he give a weight, you know, like a weight to a series, how much should I account for it?
Mm-hmm.
He don't give it one unit to all to every single one of them. He make every single one of the 99 very, very small, like less than 0.1%, let's say. Then he put 99% of that on one station, one location, which is in the southwest of the United States. And that data is come from a place. No wonder this problem is called a Bristol cone pine problem. Bristol cone, as you all know, this pine can live for thousands of years. Okay? And the problem is in that data is that data itself is flawed, okay?
Total manipulation.
And they have a three-ring expert on his team, so he make it look like he know what he's talking about, okay? And just imagine you play these kind of tricks. And then two smart Canadians, which is my friend, Stephen McIntyre and Ross McKittrick from Canada, work out the mathematics and say that, okay, what if I try to do using that same mathematical algorithm? If I throw in just noise, don't even need the real data, what do I get? Guess what the data shows? When you throw in just random noise, okay, you actually get a hockey stick data from that. That shows you that this whole data, this series that he produced means nothing. First of all, it's not a data, it's a product of mathematical algorithm, do you understand? This is how bad things are. No wonder, you see, it's already kind of, you felt that I'm losing. But then you please look more carefully. You can understand this topic. It's not difficult at all. It's the problem that these people are hiding behind so-called math and all this other fancy nonsense. They are basically telling lies, essentially. It's their duty to explain to people what they did, okay? And no wonder. And then when you look at the actual data, actually, I look at it from a different point of view. I say, no, I don't want to average all of this because I know that in climatology, in climate science, first of all, we don't know what is weather and climate in the exact definition. They often say, oh, it's 30-year average of climate, it's 30-year average of weather. Says who, actually? Why not 100? Why not 1,000? These are the questions. It's open. Nobody can answer that question. And I say that, oh, simply because we don't know that, why don't we just look at individual places, individual location? So I collected even more than him. So I got about 400 or 500 places, okay, all over the world. And I don't look at only the Northern Hemisphere. I look in the Southern Hemisphere, too. I show that majority of the station shows that you have a minimal warm period from about 1,000 to 1,200 or so. Basically, started about 880, okay? You go back another 1,200 years, let's say. You show that this time period is almost uniform warm across the world. And then this guy saying that, no, there's no hockey stick there. There's no warm period there. So it looked like a bathtub instead of a hockey stick. Do you understand? So I produce a bathtub kind of a result, which, of course, is unpopular. They
very,
made it
very
so
unpopular.
Much. Yes, because I just simply state what I found. And then, of course, they don't like it ever since then. They really call me every name that you can imagine. By the way, this is all related to politics. It has nothing to do with Willison being handsome and good-looking and all that stuff. Excuse me. It's really having to do with because someone in the Bush administration noticed, actually it's President Bush himself, noticed that paper. Somehow somebody told him. And he hold that my paper up in the cabinet meeting, say, have you told the cabinet member, have you guys read this paper? That stuff, you can. That's the thing that caused me a problem, right? Because this, I don't really care about President Bush saying this or what, right? I'm not fighting for anybody. I'm just telling the truth. That's it. And the problem is that then, of course, they have to set up a way to kill Willison as a character, as a human being. Thinking that I'm not a human being, I'm a father, I'm a husband, I'm just a normal human being. I love to drink beer, I mean, I like to eat, you know what I'm saying? Play some sports and do all the things
well,
that I do.
The good
normal
news is they
do.
Can't make you stupid, so that's kind of a bonus.
Why. This is the problem, and all this political stuff get me into all kinds of trouble for nothing, really. For just a complete trying to. And by the way, ever since then I work on many different class of problem, including polar bear that got me even more hot water, right? And then now I kind of a bit quiet because you know why? They thought they already murdered me. I'm dead already, so. That man walking, what's the problem?
Oh, we've,
so don't worry about it, right?
We're excited to be part of the comeback.
I know, I'm back.
Oh, man.
Bad news for
them. We've got to do this again because we just burned through an entire show, believe it or not.
Sure.
But we do have a really, our gift to you is the outgoing song because we could make it your theme song. Actually, I think it would be an excellent theme song for you. So we're going to
have our guest,
Dr. Willie Soon on again. We love him. Thank you for coming on with us.
Like, here's my
heart. You can find all this information at wethepeopleradio.us.
Make a supersonic man out of you.